verses 35 to 41. Jesus calms the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and he was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word. We pray now that you would take my words and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Storms. Somehow, you know, preaching about the weather sort of appeals to us, doesn't it? You know, we get a bit obsessed with weather. Yeah, is there anybody out there? I know I'm confined to barracks this morning, but, you know. It's all right, I won't start disconnecting everything. Because Callum will be cross with me. And, you know, on the longest amount of daylight. I was going to say the longest day, but then somebody will tell me there's 24 hours in every day, won't they? But the longest amount of daylight in the year. Okay, Jesus calms his storm. The Sea of Galilee. I sort of did a little bit of research. It's quite a volatile place in terms of the weather. The wind can whip up very suddenly, and the water can go from being, you know, beautifully calm and serene to being a storm in a very short space of time. As we see in this story, Jesus is worn out. He's been preaching, he's been ministering to people. Everywhere he goes, it seems, he is now followed by a crowd of people. And even when he tries to go off to pray on his own, people come searching after him. So it gets to evening, he's had a busy day, so he says to his disciples, "Come on, we're going off to the other side of the lake, the other side of the Sea of Galilee." And so they get into the boat. A number of Jesus' disciples were experienced fishermen. So I think it's pretty safe to make a few assumptions here. First of all, you know, they must have been familiar with this particular bit of water. They must have sailed on it numerous times. They knew, you know, what they were taking on. We can assume that as experienced and sensible fishermen, they kept their boat in, you know, good order. It's fairly safe, I think, to assume that this boat was fit for purpose. It was fit to be out on the sea. They must have been pretty good at looking at the sky and, you know, having an idea what the weather was done. They didn't need to rely on the shipping forecast. Probably a good job because the BBC hadn't quite got round to producing one at that stage. It's interesting, isn't it? Now we just pull our phones out and look at an app. But as the four presenters at the Queen's Club yesterday discovered, four of them pulled out their phones to find out whether there'd be any play. They all had a different app and they all said something different. So, you know, maybe actually opening your eyes and looking at the sky is quite a good judge of what the weather's going to do. And, you know, they would know the signs to look for. So it seems to me pretty safe to assume that as they set out across the water that evening, they were not being, you know, reckless and irresponsible. They knew what they were doing. They knew how to handle their boat. And it was Jesus' idea to go anyway. So they probably thought, you know, this was pretty safe territory. They set off. I like to imagine that it was, you know, quite warm, still, pleasant evening. Jesus just relaxes and goes to sleep. And then the storm comes along. It says, doesn't it? A squall. If you just find it. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. And the disciples say, oh, it's okay, Jesus is with us. No, they don't. They panic. If you've got a bunch of experienced fishermen who know what they're doing and they panic, you know, that sort of suggests it was pretty bad, doesn't it? And if it had been me that panicked, you know, I don't know much about boats, and I'm quite happy when they're flat. I'm not too enthusiastic when it starts going up and down and the water comes in. But, you know, this was pretty dangerous stuff. They were literally fearing for their lives. And Jesus is still asleep. So they wake him up. Seems sort of reasonable, really, doesn't it, on one level? They're clearly a bit irritated with him. Don't you care if we drown? What do they want Jesus to do? I wonder whether they had, you know, a clear idea in their mind of exactly what they wanted Jesus to do. I think perhaps it's more likely they just thought Jesus can sort it out. Because Jesus sorts things out, doesn't he? Jesus wakes up and he speaks to the wind and to the waves and commands them to stop and be still. And they are. We can imagine, can't we, the relief that the disciples must have felt as everything calmed down, the storm subsided, and they know that they are safe and presumably can continue across the water. And then Jesus rebukes them. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? You know, I think there are two things really going on here that I just want to briefly look at. And the first one is that, you know, this is a miracle. The disciples have seen Jesus turn water into wine at a wedding. They've witnessed him healing people. They've seen him casting out demons. And now they've seen him take authority over the natural order, over the wind and the waves. You know, throughout Mark's gospel, what we continually see is Jesus heralding in his kingdom, talking about the kingdom of God is like. And this is a sign of the kingdom. The disciples knew that God created the heavens and the earth. They knew that God had authority over that. They knew their scriptures. They knew that when Moses was leading the people of Israel out of Egypt and they came to the Red Sea, and God parted the waters so that they could walk through on dry land. They'd got sort of somewhere in their heads that God could control the natural created order. So when Jesus takes authority over it, Jesus is saying to them, I'm God. I can take authority over the wind and the waves. Their reaction at the end of the passage that Maureen read to us, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They haven't got it yet. But as we look back, it's another sign of God's kingdom. So then secondly, let's look at the fact that Jesus rebukes them for their lack of faith. I don't know about you, but you know, that seems a bit harsh to me. I sort of feel a bit of sympathy towards these disciples. They thought they were, probably saw their lives flash before them. They were fearing for their survival and for Jesus' survival. They get him to sort it out, and he tells them off. It seems a bit unfair, doesn't it? So what is going on here? Well, I think it's all about trust. Jesus was with them. That's it, really. Jesus was there with them in the boat. The fact that he was asleep, doesn't really matter. But Jesus was there. And yet, they needed him to do something. And I think this can teach us so much about being disciples. As Christians, Jesus goes with us on our journeys. Now, for most of us, most of the time it doesn't literally involve sailing. But whatever it is, whatever shape our journey takes, as Christians, Jesus has promised that he will be with us. I will never leave nor forsake you, said Jesus. And yet, it's so easy, isn't it, to get sidetracked by our circumstances and the stuff that's going along, the wind, as it were, or the waves, can so easily take us over. I wonder how many of us have said or thought, well, all this is going on, and I'm praying, and God's doing absolutely nothing. Because I've said that. It can seem, can't it, as though almost our prayers bounce back off the ceiling at us. Because we're praying for something and we're really earnest about it. And yet, it would appear that God is not listening, that he's not taking any notice of us. Maybe he's not even there anymore. And yet, he's promised that he will be. It's not about how rough or how smooth the sea is. It's about the fact that Jesus is with us. And in this rebuke here, I think what Jesus is really saying is, I'm with you. And yet that wasn't enough for you. It wasn't enough that I was here. You needed me to do something. And yes, of course, we pray to God and we ask him for things. And elsewhere in Scripture, yeah, Jesus says, doesn't he, ask whatever you want in my name. Not about saying we shouldn't ask Jesus for things, but here in this particular context, on our journey, is the fact that he is with us, as he's promised to be, is that enough for us? And can that be enough for us? Just want to close with a verse from Philippians, I guess familiar to many of us. And Philippians chapter 3 verse 1 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. The Lord is with us. And it's not about how we feel. But is that enough? And let's rejoice in him always.
Thank you, Judith. I just want to offer an invitation.